Hi everyone, and welcome to Shit My Pants, a sometimes podcast where two complete wimps watch two horror movies a week and talk about how much they ruin their pants.
Yeah.
This week, not massively ruined.
No, it's quite another clean sheet in a way.
Yeah. So every week we'll go through two films, one of which will be our kind of big budget slash very well known or classic, and then one lesser known or foreign language. This week's big budget slash classic, kind of a bit, a bit both.
Must have been a big budget.
Yeah, a relatively big
it's
budget.
Cubes, isn't it? It's the Cubes.
It's the Cubie boy.
Yeah.
Hold on. I'll get into that in a minute. So is 1979's The Shining.
80.
1980? Mm-hmm. All right. 1980's The Shining.
Not that it matters in the slightest.
The music at the start is mad.
Apparently based on a Gregorian chant of monks.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say Gregorian chant of monks.
Yeah, I thought you were. See, on the tip of your tongue.
I always listen to the Gregorian monks.
Yeah, when it's music, I usually guess Gregorian monk chant first.
Yeah,
and then
it turns out it's Indy? Taylor Swift.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I thought it was Gregorian monks this time.
Which sounds like an indie band.
Maybe next time. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be a good band name.
Yeah.
Gregorian monks. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, so mad sounding music.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So Jack at the beginning. In fact, they've been quite... I think he was quite on the nose with some of the casting because Danny, the son, is really called Danny.
He's called Danny and Jack is called Jack.
And Jack is called Jack, which just feels like...
Shelley is...
Wendy.
See, Wendy.
Which I feel like he's yet again picking on Shelley Duvall.
Really nice for the time opening shots, like weird. Like the weird perspectives as it's going close to something close by with the background not changing. And like it moves across the river really weirdly. And apparently it was also then used, I think unused footage was used in, have you ever seen that cut of Blade Runner where there's a narration at the end and he's driving through like the mountains and then there's a sweeping shot of,
I can vaguely remember it.
There's a cut where there's narration basically.
Right.
And but yeah, it was used in that weird tidbit.
Yeah. I know Jack is supposed to be completely normal at the beginning.
No, he's
still seems so aggressive.
He's a prick from the outset as if he is almost being willed over to this thing.
Yeah.
It feels like.
He's so aggressive seeming at the beginning.
But because his sole direction is get to that hotel. Just every time she even brings anything up, he's like, yeah.
Yeah, but.
Whatever.
I need to get to this fucking hotel. Yeah. I don't want to know about anything else. Just need to get to this hotel fucking pronto.
Yeah. Like, I felt when he goes to the interview at the hotel, which is like a big scene for the conspiracy theorists, apparently, like the American flag on Ullman's desk. The way the place is mapped out, the back of his window is outside and it shouldn't be. It should be just, if there's a window there, it should just be to another room. And conspiracy theorists think like this is on purpose. I think it's just probably badly planned.
Yeah.
I know he's a perfectionist, but you're not going to get the... In terms of the layout of the building as your set, you're not going to... Really?
Apparently, this the thing about him being like quite aggressive at the start is one of the reasons why Stephen King doesn't like the film. Is because it's originally in the book that he is like pretty nice, fairly relaxed, and becomes mental. And Stephen King said, on first watch, Jack is immediately mental.
I mean, he breaks his son's arm in the book before he goes to the hotel.
Yeah, sure.
And he mentions that in the film.
It's supposed to be... Yeah, he does, yeah. It's supposed to be that he's not completely crazy and the place drives him to insanity, but he already seems quite mad.
I mean, yeah, there's so
much... But that's just Jack Nicholson's face.
There's just... Yeah. But no, but there is something even when he's in the interview, there's something underneath the scene as if... Because, like... You already, when I watched it this time, because it's been a few times, obviously, but there's something, the caretaker, is it Mr., oh, I can't remember his name. The guy that spills the drink over him and cleans him up in the bathroom. That chops his girls up. That guy. He says, "You've always been it. I've always been it."
Yeah.
And it like the way Jack is listening to him and reacting to all the things he's saying, it's like he's heard it all before.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah, he's like, yeah. So what?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally
all of this.
It's, it made someone go so crazy, they hacked up their family and then themselves.
Yeah.
And he's just like...
Yeah, so...
Do I have to sign something?
Did he hack up himself? Because...
Well, I guess so. He's dead.
Yeah, they didn't make that clear
at all. I don't know if that's true.
It was only that... But later on, he's got blood running down his face when he speaks to Wendy.
Yeah.
And I'm like... But did he get killed?
No, that was a different guy. The guy that's like Greg Pardy or something. When he's
is that not the same guy?
That's not him, no. That's just a dead ballroom guest.
Oh, so all old white dudes look the same.
Yeah, shocker.
Sure. So I reckon at the point where the interviewer starts talking about, a previous caretaker killed everyone.
This bit, yeah.
I would have said, do you know what, actually? I'm good.
Yeah, I don't need this.
Do you know what?
I'll clean toilets.
Yeah, I'll do something else. It's like, it's good pay. I'm like, yeah, but...
But he needs it to write his book.
He needs to, like, the peace isolation,
yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird, because if you're writing... If you can
you're
write
dragging your family along for... How many months is it? He says,
it's like
May.
Three or 4 months or something.
It's like the dead of winter, and he says May is when he leaves.
So I'm guessing it's... It's like
months.
December or or January, yeah.
Half a year cooped up in this house.
It's like 5-6 months.
Yeah.
Cooped up in just one place. The kid's got no friends there.
Mm.
Whichever way you spin it, it's not necessary. Like, maybe just go, I tell you what, you stay at home, I'll go look after this fucking mad hotel.
Yeah.
I'll write my book. Job done. Rather than, I'm going to drag you guys along and sit in this empty fucking hotel.
I get a school.
Yeah. My kid's got school. He's got no fucking friends.
Instead, he's having to just trike around the corridors.
Yeah, and trike around the corridors on wood, then carpet.
Yeah, I love that, though. What a noise.
The mum, like Wendy, she's like, what the fuck am I going to do around here? Jesus Christ, I'm bored shitless.
Apparently, just cook. That's all that they seem to expect her to do.
Yeah.
Like, here's the kitchen, woman.
Yeah, here's the kitchen. You've got loads of food. Like,
you've got
loads
of food
great,
to be cooking for your family.
But I'm bored to fucking
why
tears.
Me?
Yeah, well, he's writing his book. Like, right, so I've got to cook.
Well, he's got to eat. You better fucking cook.
Yeah, I've got to cook 2 to 3 meals a day for 3 people. So minimal amount of cooking, especially considering she looks like olive oil. So it's like
she
nothing.
Play olive oil, didn't she? After this,
did she?
In with the Robin Williams.
Oh yeah.
Movie. She needed something light. She got to put through some shite through this film.
Yeah. We'll come to that. So Danny, mm-hmm. Danny's a creepy little cunt.
Yeah.
The whole Shining, him talking to Doc through their minds. Is mad.
Like, there are bits of this that should be dated. The music isn't dated for some reason. The bit where I can see a lesser version of it on like Twin Peaks or something, where is it Dick Halloran, the chef?
Yeah,
I think that's his name.
Doc Halloran.
So no, he calls Danny Doc.
Sorry, yes,
I think
no,
it's
it
Dick.
Is Dick. It's
yeah,
Dick
yeah.
Halloran.
Well, Scatman Crothers is the actor's name, isn't it?
Yeah, because he's like mates with. Jack Nicholson, I think, at that point.
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't an actor. He was a
musician, isn't he? Yeah.
And
he's in Aristocats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently he was just mates with Jack Nicholson, and Jack Nicholson was like,
love it.
I know a black guy.
Yeah. That was the great.
You looking for anyone or
Scatman?
I know Scatman. He's like, is he an actor? No.
He's great in it, though.
He is good. I don't think he's in anything
such
else.
Such a sinister edge to him. Like, when he's talking to Wendy and, like, just turns around and looks at Danny, and his voice, like, off screen, well, in Danny's head, just starts speaking while he's looking at him. Like, that should be dated, but the way it's done is
really good.
Fucking creepy.
Yeah. Some of his reactions and stuff as well. Dick Halloran is great.
Like the little girls. Like the only thing that didn't work in this whole movie is Danny's seizures. Danny's seizures are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy bad, but he's a small child.
OTT.
So,
yeah. Yeah, so you get the little flashes.
Mm-hmm.
The flashes get me big time. I don't like the flashes. The little, what,
of the two girls and the flashes the two of girls the bodies.
And the blood and the bodies and everything.
Yeah.
Pre-CGI, the amount of blood they would have had to have used is mental.
I think that's the one where apparently Kubrick couldn't watch while it was being filmed because they had one take, obviously.
I think they did three.
Oh, there must have been three after them because he apparently had to leave the room and not watch because he was like so frightened it wouldn't work.
They only managed to do three takes of this one, apparently, because each time they did it, it took 9 days to clean up.
Yes, is what I mean, yeah.
And they did the first one, he didn't like it, they cleaned it up, took 9 days, did the second one, and he thought the blood didn't look real enough. So they did one last one.
Well, it looks like water. It was so expensive. Really?
Yeah. And
not blood, the blood in that.
Yeah, but it doesn't make... As it is, it looks impressive, but it doesn't look like blood.
No. It's like,
and I know saying that would piss off Stanley Kubrick so much.
The way it comes out the lift is amazing. It comes from the side and sloshes down and then just... Yeah and then the way it then...
A, it doesn't look like blood, and B, is that supposed to be from the two girls?
No, that's just generally.
That's just general amounts of blood. Whose blood is it?
It's the Mr. Burns bit, isn't there? Oh, usually the blood gets off on the first floor.
Whose blood is it? Because it's too much.
It's probably where Kruger gets his blood, I imagine.
Wholesale blood.
Yeah. Cash and carry.
Dan Booker's.
This is six people's blood.
You gotta have a membership for that, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And
the way the blood licks up on the camera lens at the end and blacks out.
Yeah.
That's fucking incredible. Yeah, really like good. For 1980, the only reason he could. There's shots like that in his movies is like the same reason with Christopher Nolan and people like that. They don't fucking stop until they get it.
Yeah. The.
For our benefit. The heroes.
The girls when Danny's. Playing darts. I fucking hate those two girls.
That's where they just walk in the middle of the room. That's awful.
And then walk off. I get why their dad did it.
Yeah.
They're creepy little cunts.
Stop asking me to play with you forever.
Yeah. How about you play...
Just for a bit.
How about you go fuck right off? Then he goes, this site's supposed to be built on an Indian burial ground.
The 80s love an Indian burial ground.
Yeah. Not a red flag either. At some point, you've got to go, do you know what? This job is not worth it. The whistling is horrible. The whistling when he shines.
Yeah, that means shining's coming.
Yeah. Horrible.
Apparently, I think if I have read this analysis that I read earlier, because I didn't get this when I watched Doctor Sleep, which is the Shining sequel, is these moments are future Danny... which you see, sprinkled out throughout the movie, is future Danny talking to past Danny. So the thing, that he's talking through his finger might be him in the future.
Okay. The little kid came up with that.
Yeah.
The finger thing.
Oh, right, so maybe they've... No, that can't be it then.
The little kid came up with it during the filming, apparently. Right, okay. The finger, talking to the finger.
Then that my theory is out the window, but still.
Yeah, I think, it's probably still like the Shining bits. Yeah, there are. Him getting talked to by himself.
Yeah, there are moments like with the murder thing that they put into Dr. Sleep, which I'm pretty sure means he's connecting with himself in the past.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I might have to watch that. The.
It's Mike Flanagan as well.
Oh, is it? I do like me to Mikey Flan.
Mm-hmm.
So then you got the bit that really got me was Dick Halloran, old Scatman, is talking her through the kitchen, talking about how much food they've got, which is
fine. Lot of meat.
Yeah, a lot of meat, which is all fine, but then he goes, he's talking about like prunes and stuff like that. He goes, Mrs. Torrance, if you want to be happy, you've got to be regular.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just wanted to carry it on. Just go, regular shits, I mean. Regular shits, when you're excreting shit out of your arsehole on regular amounts.
You want it to be firm, yeah. So...
You want it to be firm? Firm shit coming out of your arsehole.
Need that fibre.
Regular.
Regular fibes.
On the same time every day, and then you'll be happy, as long as you're shitting properly out of your arsehole.
You still listening to me?
As long as you're excreting shite out of your sphincter... That's what makes you happy.
Sorry, I feel like you wandered off there. And,
sorry.
I had some important shit info to tell you.
Sorry, I really needed to get across the information about having a shit and healthy. How important it is to be happy.
Healthy and firm.
Like, could you stop talking to me about my shits, please? telling Danny there's nothing in room 237 and that he should stay out is like a red rag to a bull. Because someone tells me that, I'm in 237.
Did he ask about it?
Yeah, because Danny had like clearly shined or shone. Shone?
I feel anyway. Like if you go, don't worry about it, there's nothing in there, yeah. Then he's going to, when he's left alone for too long, he's going to shine the bitch out of that house.
Yeah.
And it's going to radar right over to it anyway. So you might as well try it.
The problem...
don't the problem go in is, there, mate, please.
I don't have the shining.
No.
And if someone went, stay out of room 237, there's nothing in there, but you should stay out of it. I'd be in there like a shot. I'd be like, yeah. I'm having a look in 237. Why are you telling me not to?
We'll get to the 237 though, man.
Yeah, 237's weird, but it's still, don't be telling me not to go in room 237. I'm definitely going to go in there. So then everybody else leaves and they just slowly get on with it. You've got Jack... fairly quickly descended into madness.
He does. There's moments like when he's overlooking the maze, the model maze, while they're in it. That shot is crazy.
I don't understand why you'd have a huge hedge maze.
Replica of the maze.
And then an indoor model of the maze.
The only way I can think of why is that you can go try and figure out how to do it before you go in.
In that case, what's the point?
Well, I mean, it's still going to be fucking odd. You got to remember every turn and it all looks different in there. Anyway.
It just feels like if you're going to have a maze, don't have an indoor model of the maze. It's pointless.
There's some terrifying shit scenes in the book, which is Hedge Animals, which I haven't seen the Stephen King film movie version or TV movie version. Jesus. But I think it would have featured him because it was more closer to the book. But these hedge animals, they chase Danny.
That makes sense.
Like the angels in Doctor Who, where when you look at them, they stop.
Oh, that's rank.
Yeah, and the way it was written, honestly, which seems so, like something so tame, the way he wrote it scared the shite out of me.
Mm.
I had to like just give it a breather for a minute. I was reading it by candlelight during a power cut as well. It was awful.
It's all right, Ebenezer.
No, it's proper Edgar Allan.
Proper never moored it.
Yeah.
Just before that, you've got to come play with us. That has got to be one of the creepiest single lines of any film.
Forever and ever and ever.
Come play with us, Danny. Forever and ever and ever.
Only on this watch did I realise that Jack repeats it later on. So you're going to stay with me forever and ever. Ever when he's hugging Danny, when Danny suddenly goes, "You wouldn't hurt us, would you?" Which is a fair old question, given his attitude.
Wouldn't smash us up with any axes, right? I just want to make sure that you're not going to do us in with an axe.
Where am I going to get an axe in a massive hotel?
Definitely not from some sort of fire extinguisher. Yeah, not with
all these fire exits.
Yeah, I mean, where would an axe even be? I've definitely got one.
Definitely got one.
What was that last
bucket of sand? I'm gonna put your fucking head in as well.
No, you can totally stab your head in with one, don't I? So the one criticism that I actually agree with Stephen King on,
okay,
is Jack goes mental too quickly because he goes from like mildly aggressive at the beginning, relatively fine to unhinged.
The only reason I think that works in Kubrick's version is because he is already unhinged before he goes in, unlike Stephen King's. So I think he's already...
The thing is, he goes from probably a little bit mad to completely unhinged in a very short amount of time.
Yeah. Well, this hotel is supposed to just almost like pick people
Okay. Oh, right, so it's drawn him in.
Yeah, that's how I... That's the feeling I get from... I haven't read the book in fucking years, so I can't remember, but the vibe of the, at the beginning of this is more like his soul... purpose at that in that moment is nothing else matters. He doesn't care what his kid's saying, and it's always dark shit. Like the only time he talks to his son properly before they get to the hotel is him telling him about the Donner Party, the people that ate that got stranded in the snow and ate each other.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was an Echo and Trio song about it.
So. It's a yeah. I mean that is a lot.
That's the only time he has a conversation with the kid.
Yeah. I don't know why you need to bring up cannibalism with like a 6-year-old, but or however old he is.
Yeah, they're talking about different mountains they're passing, and is that the one where the Donner Party was?
They just go, "Why do you know about that?" And if I told you, I'm bad at being a parent.
Well, this is it. Like, it seems like it's only going to be dark, deathly miserable things that he's willing to talk about straight. So he seems to me unhinged already, so it doesn't seem crazy for him to sink that far. But I maybe it would have been even better if he was sane before he goes in, and then he devolves slowly. Yeah. But it still works.
That is my only
only
bit that I agree with Stephen King on, because other than that, I've got no idea why he doesn't like this version, because it's really good. The long hallway shots are minging.
The following on the trike.
That and just like long shots of hallways.
Yeah. It's the first properly utilised time of the Steadicam, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
So they were able to get these really smooth, just you can go fucking anywhere now, rather than, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I read about these because...
they sit on a brace on your hip.
Yeah, he got in the guy who invented it.
Yeah.
And he got the guys who invented it to sit in a wheelbarrow behind Danny while somebody pushed him around.
Great idea.
And they did like 30 shots, like 30 takes of it, and the guy who was pushing the wheelbarrow around was fucking knackered.
Yeah, I bet he was.
And I don't know why they didn't just go, why don't we have like 2 or 3 guys to push the wheelbarrow around and just switch them out.
Switch them out, give them a breather.
Yeah, just give them like 5-10 minutes in between.
But they... Whatever they did just pays off. It's fucking outrageous.
So Shelley Duvall's performance, I can understand why it's considered both brilliant and dog shit at the same time.
I think there's brilliance in it, yeah.
Because for the most part, she's very vibrato.
Yeah.
And she's a lot. But all things considered, it is a good performance. But I can understand why people... Like, didn't she win the first Raspberry Award or something?
Did she?
So I think she won the first round.
I ended up getting
rescinded like 20 years later by the Razzies. They went, yeah, sorry about that. It was actually really good.
Yeah, it sometimes takes a while, doesn't it?
Yeah, because like people hated this at the beginning, didn't they?
Well, just The Shining, the movie. Maybe it's possible.
Apparently, like critically and box office wise, it did really shit at the beginning.
Oh wow!
And then became like people started to appreciate it a bit more.
It does happen too much, doesn't it?
Yeah, like people could really go after something.
And it's interesting to try and think of what currently has come out that's just been kind of panned that will eventually turn. Like, what could it be?
Nothing comes to mind, but I'm sure there is some.
There's probably loads.
Yeah. I just wasn't prepared for that.
I thought, like, some of the direction in it is fucking odd, but works. Like, there's the scene when he's been in... I think he's been in 237.
Yeah.
And Jack has been accused of strangling Danny.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Danny's been in there, yeah.
And Danny's face, Jack's face, while he's being just stood there looking at him, is like, it's like Kubrick told him, someone's just farted in your mouth. Like, and he's like, just confused, stunned,
outraged.
Yeah, but like,
has a stinky mouth.
As if he can't quite comprehend what's going on, like, what?
Why did you just fart in my mouth?
What's with the farts?
I think a lot of direction in films is Pretend someone's farted.
Fart mouth. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah.
We're looking for a farty mouth.
Oh, now I'm on it. Jack walking into the bar and going, "Hi, Lloyd," like he's been mates with him for years, is really weird.
Great. And then the first shot of Lloyd is, for some reason, haunting. Yeah. It's the guy that played Tyrell in Blade Runner, isn't it?
It's the only other thing I've seen him in. But I think he was in a bunch of stuff, but he wasn't in...
I just think of him as big glasses, little head.
Yeah. He's been in a couple of absolute bangers then. And then Jack is really racist afterwards.
When? I know he is in the bathroom.
Yeah, he's in the bathroom. It's not long after that.
We haven't done 237 yet, though.
Is he not racist?
He's racist in the bathroom at the party near the end. Before he starts with the axe.
He's like, you need to correct her.
I only remember when he's like, well, the other guy's racist. And then he says it back to him.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely. That is minging, that bit.
Yeah.
And he says it back to him really comfortably. So Dick getting the shining vision of Danny is horrid.
Yeah.
Because his face alone is bad.
We've gone way ahead here. We haven't done 237 at all.
Did I just skip 3? Right. Cutting all this part.
Where were we before?
I have no idea.
Well, was it because I skipped ahead a little bit just to talk about...
I don't think I had any notes for 237, so...
Oh, right.
No, well, Jack in 237.
Yeah.
No, it's after that.
No.
Yeah, because my notes otherwise would be really out of order.
Oh.
I've got Lloyd, Jack being racist, Dick getting the shining vision of Danny. Then he calls the police, I think.
Who does?
Doc. Dick. And then Jack... And then Jack goes to 237. Because Jack's going to 237 because Danny was in there. So he goes to 237 relatively soon after Danny had been in there.
Okay.
Right, so I've got no idea where we left it before I've got a wedding. But...
Well, you were talking about Dick Halloran.
Right. So, Dick Halloran, he gets the shining vision of Danny.
Yeah.
And his face is horrid.
Both
him and Danny do a face during their shining episodes where they are just horrified, like absolutely terrified.
Because they're probably seeing slightly ahead in these.
Yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
Or what could happen.
But still, I mean, I've seen some rankish shit. I've never looked the way they do.
The kid I get.
Yeah.
Him,
he's like, like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, yeah.
Like, chill out, mate. Just go, fuck me, that's bad. I'm going to get on the fucking phone. calls the police who Wendy's already spoken to on the radio to go, hi, how you doing? It's just fine up here.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. Sounds a bit like she's from Family Guy or something. So Dick then calls the police, and then Jack goes off to 237 to find out what the fuck went on in there, because Danny's basically gone. He's got marks around his neck as if someone's had their hand around his neck.
Yeah.
He's tried to strangle him, and he's gone, oh, it was in 237.
Yeah.
And Wendy's gone, oh, it's some guy in 237. He never normally lies. It's like, yeah, but also, he is like 5 or 6 years old.
Mm.
Like, I wouldn't be tearing the place apart.
No. And before before he goes in here, like, just to get him over the edge, he has a nightmare. That was right before he gets accused of strangling Danny.
Yeah.
And it's like his nightmare... The nightmare was he chopped them all up.
Yeah.
And it was almost like it's...
Yeah, I remember.
Completing his insanity, almost.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because he says, oh, yeah, I hurt you. I killed both you and Danny. Even worse than that, I chopped you up.
Yeah.
And
it just felt like that was it. Yeah. That was the house has spoken to him, told him what is going to happen. And then 237 happens.
I mean, just to go back to the only criticism that I agree with Stephen King on, he maybe could have even just made it longer and just drawn out his insanity a little bit, like, and just progressed it a bit slower.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole thing doesn't, none of it feels real anyway. So, I mean, it's all, there's so much heightened shit in it.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe that.
It's up to interpretation, really. 237, right?
Yeah, 237.
So, I think it walks through 237 without Jack in the shot yet.
Yeah.
And then he eventually comes around.
Yeah, because you see just her in the bar. Just cuts. And she's getting out of the bar.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, so then it creeps cuts through to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And that shot where it stays on her, you immediately see just this frosted figure behind the shower curtain. And then you slowly see an arm reaching out, the fingers, the pullback, and you go, oh, okay, it's a young, beautiful woman.
Oh, then, okay, and she is fit.
And then immediately your mind goes, that ain't good.
Yeah, why would she be there?
Exactly.
And Jack's face when she's getting out of the bath is proper ledge.
Yeah, it's quite repulsive.
I would love her to go, do you fucking mind, mate? This I've got my full vag out
but
here.
This is it, though. That, like, she... You expected something so sinister, and then it's her. And,
it's almost more sinister.
And he smiles anyway, and it's like, do you really think this is just happening in front of you?
Yeah, and you're not going, hold on a minute.
And even like,
no one's here.
Even if like you didn't know that was a ghost, if you thought that was real life happening in front of you, you'd be like, "What the fuck am I doing in here?"
Yeah. Sorry.
Did you strangle my son? No. Yeah. Right. I'm leaving.
Yeah. One. Why are you here? It's supposed to be no one here. Two. I'm so sorry for having a look at your full fucking vag.
Yeah.
And three. Did you strangle my son?
And then kisses her like he wants to enter her head.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. To be inside her brain.
Like, he's trying to dig through. And trying then, to go through her face.
And then the realisation in the mirror that she's like a bloated corpse, basically.
Yeah. Rank.
Just starts laughing at him.
Yeah, it is pretty rank.
So, and that bit is the slow chase of her laughing at him is then interlaced with a shot of her lying down in the tub again and slowly getting out. As the shot pulls away from her, laughing still, goes down the hallway, but you can still hear her, and then it ends.
Yeah.
Like, it's just... I don't understand why you think... What if I just put a shot of her getting out the fucking bath again? Like, cut into that scene. It looks horrendous why and works. Necessary? But who thought...
Someone had to write that down.
Someone thought of that and was like, yeah, we'll give it a go.
And
then it worked.
The Danny's face then is absolutely rough.
Mm.
I don't know how that kid can look so horrified.
Yeah.
Especially when apparently he didn't know he was in a horror film.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It is minging his face.
Yeah, when he does the shocks and the seizures, it's bizarre.
Dick then, I think, calls the police. And he sounds proper passive aggressive when he's talking to the police about asking them to call the hotel. Do you reckon you could call them?
Maybe.
Like, I was a bit like, all right, mate, no need to be a cock about
shit to
it.
Do.
I was like, all right, dick, no need to be a dick about
dick
it.
About it.
Then comes Jack goes back for another drink, goes to the party, and he gets the shit spilled all over him by, I don't know the guy's name.
Grady?
Yeah, probably. I think it's Grady. And then that's when he says the N word like three times in a row. I was like, God damn, Steve, lay off the cocaine.
He says, someone's coming. Your boy has contacted someone.
Yeah.
Like someone who says,
he says an N word. It's like, all right. Do you mind?
He says, yeah, a cook. And then... And then he talks about correcting his family when they were line.
Yeah, and that he had to correct his.
Yeah.
Because earlier on, when he first meets him, he's talking about, oh, but I know you. You were the caretaker here. And he was like, no, I've never been the caretaker here. He's like, yeah, you chopped up your family. And he's like, oh, no, I think I'd remember something like that. And yeah. then goes, like, slightly yeah. later on, you mean chopped up my family? Oh, yeah, I did do that.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I thought you said something else. No, chopped up my family,
It was, like, before, I can't remember where the turn was.
Yeah.
Where he started telling the truth.
Until that point, just talking utter shite.
But then he goes back to...
But I'm assuming that's in the book as well.
I think there's something about that.
Stephen King did to lay off the cocaine earlier. Because I know he's off it now, but fuck me.
I think then Jack goes back somewhere and Nancy approaches him. Maybe at the bar. Huh?
Wendy.
Who did I say?
Nancy.
Oh, Nancy Duvall, I meant. Wendy. Shelley Duvall. Who's Nancy Duvall?
I have no idea who Nancy is.
Why do I keep saying Nancy?
I don't know.
And then he goes back to Wendy.
Yeah. He's like, oh, no, there was nothing there.
But this is after the bar bit.
Yeah.
And he says, she says, like, I think we need to get Danny some help.
Yeah.
And the way he says these next couple of lines, the first one is, it's so fucking typical of you to create a problem. Yeah. The way he says it with such hideous venom was almost like a different kind of horror. It was almost like domestic horror.
It's like domestic violence. Yeah, it was really horrible.
And then when he storms off, he says, I've let you fuck up my life so far. I'm not going to let you do it again, or something like that. And it's like, what the fuck has she ever done?
Yeah.
Broke her son's arm.
Yeah, you broke her son's arm, and you also dragged him into the fucking mountain so you could write your book. And all she's done is come along with you and cook. Chill the fuck out. Just because you're not getting wasted with Lloyd and the boys.
Oh, I think it's here, sorry. That's right before the ballroom scene. I apologise. Yeah. And then he goes to the ballroom.
Yeah.
And do you know what I thought about that was, like, a lesser movie would have focused in on the background characters to go, by the way, it's the 30s now.
Mm.
This is... And then, therefore, they're clearly ghosts. But he just left them in the background. Not one of them got focused on. There were people in, like... what do they used to call them in the 30s, those dancers?
I want to say clappers, but...
Yes, clappers or something like that. And wearing that kind of dress, just walking past in the background. And, never gets...
It doesn't really get mentioned properly. Up until the very, very end where he's in the picture.
Good shit. Like, to the perfectionism of, I watched that scene being filmed and Stanley Kubrick's like, can everyone just stop, like, nodding and just don't speak out loud and just talk to each other naturally?
Mm.
And then you can, when I watched that scene afterwards, they are just like... I realised we're doing
fucking
a podcast.
Nodding all the time. Because they do that in films and they don't do it in real life.
Yeah, exactly. And it does look really good, the way he's just calmed everyone down, really.
The Wendy's coming across all the pages that have been written.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that there's about 25 different ways on the page to write "all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy." And there's loads of typos and stuff.
Yeah.
But I do feel bad for whatever poor cunt in the crew had to write it all out.
Like 300 or something like that pages in five different languages.
There's about 400 pages.
Yeah.
But it turns out it was well over 500 pages of it. Yeah, 500.
But it was one person that said.
Yeah.
But
Kubrick's one poor fucker.
Kubrick's assistant had to do that.
Yeah, imagine that being your job for the next week.
So weird. Some of it was in trying, Some of it was in triangle, some of it was in, like, screenplay form.
Yeah.
In different spacing.
Some of it was typed out, and then it was almost like a quote halfway down the page. Yeah. It was the same shit.
Just over and over insanity. Again.
Yeah, and apparently it got written out in a load of different languages as well.
Yeah, five at least.
But there's like 400 pages of it, 500 pages. You probably only see 50.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is...
Could have been blank. Pages.
Could have been blank pages, but instead he made some fucker do that.
Of course he did.
No need for that.
So Jack knew they were there. Have to know.
So the sound design, which I talked about earlier, was mad and fucking great. And it does seem like Danny's main role in the film is to sit alone looking horrified into a camera.
Yeah, that is true.
I
mean, he's great on the trike.
And then he's talking... She's then going, we need to get Danny some help. And he's like, well, when? And she She goes, as soon as possible. And even Jack is taking the piss out of her overacting. He's like, as soon as possible.
I mean, yeah, he had to make her do these scenes, like one of them, I think the bat scene, like 130 times.
Yeah, it's a world record.
Yeah.
For the most amount of retakes for the same shot that has dialogue in it.
Yeah.
It's like the record. It's like 136
or something. Like that. Yeah. I can't remember.
But it's a fucking stupid number.
Yeah, send it to the woman, fucking crazy.
Like, she is fucking useless with that bat, though. I don't even know why he asked her to put it down. She couldn't hurt anything the way she's hit.
I mean, you try swinging a bat after fucking 120 times.
Yeah, I totally understand. Thing is, they may not have used the 128. No, could have used 2. They might have used 30.
Yeah.
they could have gone through 140 takes and just gone, do you know what the best one was? 31.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Nicholson is amazing in that scene, though. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in. I'm just going to bash them right the fuck in.
I know that he made her do all those takes, but isn't he also making him do those
takes?
Yeah,
technically.
So
yeah.
She went completely mental because he made her do so many takes.
But he's crying the entire time.
But, oh yeah, I suppose that is knackering.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Hers
is
way more heightened.
Yeah, that's fair.
And it's up the line, light of my life.
So she eventually manages to clock him, although I cannot understand how it did anything to him.
It's more the fall that did most of that damage, yeah. I think. Yeah.
And then she drags him along to the freezer.
Yeah.
I
got it confused with the Simpsons episode at this point. I was like, does he start eating everything? No, that's Homer.
No, that's Homer. That's a different thing.
Can't talk eating.
It's so hard to drag someone like that, though. Mm. And then she can't work out a very simple door. So she's managed to drag him across the hotel.
She's panicking. She's waking up at that moment.
Yeah, but it's well hard to drag someone.
Yeah,
she's dragged him all the way through the hotel.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
She's done the hard part.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're knackered. You're frightened that he's now stirring. He's going, ugh.
Maybe just do him in again.
Yeah, well, you should have, yeah.
I mean, this is the key point for all horror films, is if you've managed to knock someone down, stove their head in...
They're going to get up.
...until you see carpet.
They're going to get up, like, yeah.
I don't want to hear any... Oh, well, I hit him once and then run away. No,
you... Punch floor.
You came in until you could see floorboard.
Yeah.
I don't want to know otherwise.
Yeah.
Look
like you've been done with a dum-dum or something. Caved it the fuck in.
Once he's in there, right, Danny comes in. Danny's then coming in being a creepy cunt and he's written murder on the, or red rum on the door.
Red rum.
He wakes her up doing that.
Yeah.
How was she asleep?
I don't know.
How are you managing to sleep?
Well, he starts screaming it.
I don't understand how she managed to sleep in the first place.
Oh,
She's just dragged her husband through the hotel after knocking him out with a bat because he's gone insane.
That might
be. She stuck him in the freezer, and then she's gone, I'll tell you what, I'm going to nip down for a sleep.
I mean, that must have been put in out of order, I reckon. Yeah, that's...
There is no way you could sleep.
No. Yeah.
No way.
Unless you just collapsed and happened to get back to the... I don't know. Yeah, you probably wouldn't.
She's got the covers pulled over.
She probably wouldn't. It's true. Yeah.
Well, she's gone, I'll tell you what, maybe I'll have a quick shower, get into my night stuff, maybe read a bit of a book, have a kip. No!
Go see what Jack's doing. Oh, right.
Oh, wait, yeah, that's... Of course.
How does he get out?
Matey lets him out. The one who chopped up his daughters.
Oh.
Grady.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, I mean...
It's a ghost.
Yeah. How does he work a door?
Yeah.
Especially when Wendy seemed to struggle with it so much.
Ghosts can't go through doors. They're not fire.
She's managing to sleep. Danny comes in being a right creepy cunt. The fucking finger thing is creepy enough, but when he starts shouting red rum, that is minging.
Mm. Great little touch, though, the red rum.
Yeah, it's really
still
good.
Appreciate it to this day.
As she sees it in the mirror, it says murder.
It's good shit.
the sound that then is made, like that.
Yeah,
that made me go.
The sound design in this is crazy. There are this really weird thudding, sharp thud heartbeat that goes on. I think during Shinings as well.
Yeah,
as well as the high pitched, where it's like, just like it sounds like it hurts in your chest.
Yeah,
it's fucking horrible.
And the jagged noise that's made when something horrifying is happening is minging.
Yeah.
So then Jack's coming up with the axe.
Mm-hmm.
He's decided the axe is the only way to get in the room. Not to kick the door in or do anything that's definitely easier. Mm. He's going, just axe.
Just axe.
And they got his Johnny, which is interesting because, did you know, his name is not Johnny.
What is it?
It's Jack. So
his Jackie.
That's
was it a typo?
No.
And he just went along with it?
No, it was a spontaneous thing. It's from Johnny Carson.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
I think you've gone along with a bit.
I was still going.
Oh, I didn't realise you were going along with a bit. Because
Johnny Carson's the one that was.
I prefer the bit.
Does it? He does a joke and then does a golf swing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Ooh, like my ex-wife. No, that was a bit Italian mobster.
Hey!
I know who Johnny Carson is, though.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Really good, but his name's not Johnny, it's Jack. I really love Jack just absolutely hammering Dick in the chest.
What was that noise before hitting someone with an axe?
It
hurt.
So unexpected in the moment because he finally gets there. He spent the last 10 minutes slowly getting up to the hotel.
He got about 4 foot into the hotel.
And gets nailed.
Just
immediately.
Started screaming. Hello.
Yeah.
Maybe keep your voice down.
I mean, I'm assuming you're there because you've realised
there's danger.
There's danger.
Yeah.
So maybe don't shout and announce your fucking entry.
It's Dick Halloran.
It's Dick Halloran if you want to come kill me.
I heard there was danger.
I had a bit of a shining moment earlier and I realised everyone was going to get killed. So I thought I'd come up and, oh! Jesus Christ, Dick.
Yes, yeah, really well done though.
Him
just stood behind the pillar.
Yeah, it's really good. And then Danny's outrunning Jack.
Yeah.
Which... he could outrun him for days.
But the tread back is...
so good.
So good.
So good.
Such a good idea.
But he could outrun him for days. Mm. Like, fucking out. Jack's limping.
Yeah.
He's screaming. Also way older.
Yeah.
Danny's just, like, he's six. He's got loads of energy. He's just fucking bouncing around the place. He could outrun him for days.
But he didn't need to.
And then Wendy's trying to get out of the hotel. Was that bear sucking that dude off?
Yeah. So there's in the book, there's a bear. No. It's more like a little... I feel like it was a little gremlin thing.
Right.
And it talks about eating Danny's dick at one point. No joke.
I mean, Stephen King needs to lay off the drugs.
Yeah. He is not to be trusted around cocaine.
Or kids.
Because he writes things like that orgy scene in It.
Yeah.
Or this.
Also kids.
Yeah.
But Stephen King and cocaine and kids do not mix.
But the thing is like chasing him on like the landings of the hotel and it's quite like...
There
was something in a bear costume and then there was something that the only way I can remember it was like a Gollum-esque thing.
Right. He's trying to eat his dick.
But it was just talking about like cutting off his dick and chewing on it and just like...
That's a lot.
Yeah. I wonder that didn't make the cut.
So the bear's sucking him off.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
There's probably backstory to not there specifically that, but like the sexual deviancy of the hotel.
Again, though, not really put in the film at all.
No.
So, it's just out of context.
Just for jarring, jarring sake.
Yeah, there's just a dude getting sucked off by a bear.
Yeah.
And then she runs into the dude who's got his head stoved in.
Yep.
And it's like,
great party.
A great party.
Yeah, something like
apart
that.
Apart from my head seems to be dripping.
Was the bear the first time she had seen any actual evidence of anything going on. Yeah. Yeah. And then that straight away.
Yeah. Yeah, the hotel turns on her quite quickly.
Yeah, but yeah, it hadn't revealed itself at all to her until that moment, which is quite weird, right at the end.
Yeah, because it had to Danny, partly through Shining, but partly through 237.
And yeah, the girls and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, oh, and the girls, yeah.
And then Jack,
it revealed itself to Jack, obviously. But yeah, hadn't done anything. She had been having a completely normal time up until Danny got his fucking
neck strangled out of nowhere.
Got throttled.
And no wonder she thought it was the guy that had previously broke his arm.
And then that's basically like the neck that night.
That's the end night.
Yeah.
Yeah. That she gets a face full of Shining.
I mean, that is a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to take in over a few hours.
Yeah.
Then you've got the back treading on the through the snow. Mm-hmm. Great, good work. She manages to take Dick Halloran's snow cat or whatever it's called, and drive away. And then you've got you've got the slow zooming in into the picture. It keeps zooming in further and further. Why does it need to do that? You can see it's Jack from a mile away.
So there's an interesting thing about this. The number 42. Relates to. It keeps popping up. There are 42 cars in the car park in the shot when they turn up.
No one knew that, but fine.
Danny had a 42 on his thing.
Right.
And there was another reference of 42, which I forget. Okay. But 42 is when the Holocaust started, when the Final Solution was put into place. And at the end, when it fades, it goes from a close-up of the framed photo to a close-up of Jack, his hair hits his below his nose and he looks like Hitler.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's quite good. But it keeps zooming in, and I was almost like, I knew that was, like, we could all see that was Jack.
Yeah, it was clearly Jack, yeah.
Minutes ago, and you keep zooming in as if it's more and more of a reveal.
I almost wanted it just to cut to Stanley Kubrick just in his office going, it was Jack by the way.
Pointing to it.
Directed by Stanley Kubrick.
Just he's pointing directly to his face and goes, it's Jack. Like, we know. We can see it so early.
I know who Jack Nicholson is.
Yeah,
I watched this film.
He has a very distinctive face.
Yeah.
And he was at the front. So, best performance.
Jack.
Yeah, it's Jackie boy, yeah. Shout out to Danny, though.
And Shelley?
Yep.
Shelley, yeah. I stand by that one. I think she was fucking... She played it weird, but...
Played it real weird.
But it was like the antithesis of...
Right. So, other category. Shit my pants moment.
Shit my pants moment. So there's a couple of moments during the elevator flood where it keeps cutting over to Danny just looking horrified.
Yeah.
Shots of the two girls stood in the hallway. And like the way that was... Like, you didn't need that. The blood was enough, but, yeah. Danny's face in those moments.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. Mine is the old woman in 237.
Yeah, fair enough.
Rancid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Creepiest shot?
Probably the woman in 237 before she even puts her hand out to pull the curtain back. Like, the image of something behind that thing with that context was horrible for me.
Yeah, that is pretty horrible. Two girls in the hallway. Super fucking creepy. Everything about them is creepy.
Chopped or none?
Everything about them. But no, I think none.
None is worse. Yeah.
I don't know why creepy kids all have to be English.
I don't know, really.
Come play with us, Danny. Forever's down the apple and pears. Chill out with the Cockney weird.
Apples and pears.
Yeah, all right. Chill out, Mickey Flanagan. right, so score from one to the Skidders.
In terms of Skidderness, I'll give it a 6.5.
Okay. Yeah. I've gone 5.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, by today's standards, it's not an absolute cheap answer.
Still, it's like an Ari Aster film where you're just like, it's still appreciate how this was put together.
It's still pretty rough considering it's like nearly 45 years old.
Yeah.
It's still pretty rough.
Pretty nasty. In terms of its, the things it's talking about.
Yeah. I mean, overall, it's still pretty rank.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just sit down and watch it, it is.
Holds the fuck up.
Yeah. For the most part. Right, so our second film this week is
going to be tough to talk about.
Is 2018's In Fabric, which is our lesser known film.
Billed, might I add, before we go into it, as a British horror comedy.
Yeah. Not huge. I mean, there was a bit of dark comedy in it, I suppose.
Not a lot of horror.
There wasn't a lot of horror or comedy. No. But very much an art house horror.
Yeah.
Which
is not what we're after.
I normally would translate to really wank.
Yeah.
And in this case,
wank with blood.
And in
that's an awful phrase.
Yeah. Oh God. In that case, go to the doctor.
Wank with blood, everyone.
Don't do that. Do something else.
Lube is boring.
Would blood be good for that?
I don't know.
I think it would.
Would it be viscous with friction? How does that react with friction?
It's quite slick.
Anyway.
In this case, it's very much called art house, like an art house thing, because it's shit.
Yeah.
I like that they make it so. It's the story of fucking hell. It's the story of
a haunted dress.
Yeah, a lonely woman. And I like that they made it clear that she's very lonely, straight the fuck off the bat. And jealous that she's not getting absolutely chewed out like her son's girlfriend.
Yeah, but then when she does, like she tells him he's got a date, she's got a date ready and she's got that dress on. And he's like annoyed about it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you look about 25, mate. Yeah. I mean, I know he's 16 or something, he's in school.
Yeah, but he's also absolutely fucking mincing out someone every fucking night.
Yeah.
So it's the story of a very lonely woman. Very lonely, and they make it so, so much on the loneliness.
Watching Gwendolyn Christie get motted every night.
She is going out on dates because she broke up with her ex, her sort of son's dad. And he seems to have moved on, so she's trying to. And she's going through the Lonely Hearts, which I think this is sort of 70s, 80s, somewhere around it's there.
Based on like the TV aesthetic and how it looked. Yeah, go 80s, early 80s.
Yeah. So somewhere around, set around the same sort of time as The Shining. Thatchery,
yeah.
Very Thatcher. So she is going through the Lonely Hearts pages in a newspaper, which is like the oldest version of Tinder.
Yeah.
And she gets a dress from a department store that turns out to want to kill people.
Yeah.
Something around those lines.
And it slowly is unraveled, first of all, with her realizing, which tries to take the dress back because of, is it after the washing machine incident?
Yeah, so we should probably skip back a little bit. So she goes off to a department store. She's looking at a dress because she's going out on this date.
Yeah.
She's picked this guy called Adonis.
Oh, yeah, Adonis.
And she's going out on this date. She's like, I need a new dress for it. A woman who looks like a geisha at a funeral, is talking to her in absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
In like faux philosophical.
Well, it sounds bullshit. Like someone's just like used the thesaurus on Microsoft Word for every single word.
Yeah. Some of those people where they've clicked right and gone synonyms.
Yeah, exactly.
On every word and just gone. Yeah, this sounds smart.
I sound like Stephen Fry.
Oh my God, I'm so... I sound like I'm smart as fuck. And everyone's like, you sound like you're talking shit.
Yeah. Barely English.
She's buying the dress. She manages to buy this red dress eventually, which it seems only comes in one size and there is only one of them in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Seems, for some reason.
Yeah, seems... I mean, it wouldn't make me think it's probably haunted, but...
No, I mean, it made me go, that's weird.
But then you would just immediately move on with your day after getting it.
Yeah. I'd go, oh, cool, this is quite a nice dress. It's not in her normal size.
Does she know that until before she takes it back?
Because
she questions, but I'm not a 36.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So then she's going out with a bloke called Adonis, who sounds like he's going to be fit.
Yeah.
Which is one of my problems with This is one of the problems with giving kids names.
Sexy names.
Like, well, just names with expectations on it.
Mm.
Adonis, you've got to either be fit. No, that's it.
Yeah.
You and there's no way to know that when naming a child.
Beau, as in B-E-A-U, you're going to have to be quite good looking.
Yeah.
Literally or, means that.
Yeah. Like or something like Axel. You can't do that if he turns out to be a tax accountant.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Sometimes...
Nominative determinism.
That's what it's called. Yeah, nominative determinism. With Adonis, if they're not just ridiculous...
That's where, you can't... There is an expectation of nominative determinism, but you can't achieve it.
You can't live up to it.
It's DNA, baby.
Adonis sets up a date with her on the voicemail. She sounds like she's going to cry on her voicemail message.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought she was.
So upset.
Have you ever seen her in anything else?
Yeah.
Secrets and Lies?
Don't know about that.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what
she was great in Secrets and Lies. She was okay in this, but it was a weird film. So.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a very good film, but...
Secrets and Lies is a Mike Lee movie, I think. Her and Brenda Blethyn.
Yeah, it's Marianne Jean-Baptiste.
I recognise the name as well.
Yeah, she's got... Secrets and Lies, she got a Oscar nomination for.
Yeah, no wonder.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what I might have seen her in. Because I do recognise her. But I don't know what from.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen her in something else other than Secrets and Lies.
I mean, she's been in a bunch of stuff. Oh, she was in the updated RoboCop.
I never saw that.
Edge of Tomorrow with
had Gary Oldman,
Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt.
Oh, yeah.
She's in...
That didn't have Gary Oldman in it.
Yeah. I mean, she's been in quite a lot of stuff. She was in the TV miniseries about Stephen Lawrence.
Who? Football player.
Yeah. Oh, she was in a show called Without a Trace, which was like a...
Never saw it.
Yeah. It was an FBI missing persons unit. She was one of the main actors in that.
Fair enough.
And she was in Broadchurch.
Oh, yeah, that might be it.
I think it probably is.
Anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to cut some of that. So, after Adonis leaves her a voicemail and a crying voicemail, the geisha woman who worked in the department store takes off her wig and looks like an absolute pencil.
Yeah. This isn't the scene. So, I'll get to it. What happened when she took the wig off? Just showing her that...
Yeah, just showing everyone that, oh, isn't it weird that she's bald?
Yeah.
Ish.
Happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, alopecia or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't judge her.
No.
she's got no hair.
I judge her for haunting dresses, but...
Yeah, I judge you for trying to make out like that's really weird.
Yeah. Weird, she's bald.
It's crazy. Like, chill the fuck out, mate. And then Adonis turns up for the date and he's not fit at all.
No, he's an arsehole.
And all of this scene is interspersed with the geisha-looking woman getting into a dumbwaiter on her hands and knees and then just going down in the dumbwaiter.
Because mm-hmm.
She's upstairs with the mannequins in the attic.
Yeah.
This film's not good.
It's normal retail things, that is.
Yeah.
That's what we call that.
I mean, dumbwaiters are always rank. I've never seen a dumbwaiter in anything that wasn't horrendous.
Yeah, I watched Annabelle Creation, the second one, the other day, and there was a dumbbell in that, and I went, yeah, I bet that won't be minging.
Yeah, it always is.
It was.
Yeah. and it's interspersed with the date, which is the driest date I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, he's a complete knobhead.
Yeah. He's like turning his nose up at her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, mate, you ain't no painting. Like, don't be turning your nose
almost
up
at her. Almost like he was annoyed after it was revealed she had had her hair cut.
One thought I had, Tinder was mad back in the 70s and 80s. You had to go through Royal Mail for everything.
Yeah, fuck that.
Oh my God, it would take ages.
Got a match, but we missed you because you weren't in. Like, I have to go to the post office to see the picture of a knobhead.
Yeah, and just go, well, I don't like any of it. Yeah, because she had all the pictures.
Yeah.
And she's like slowly rifling through them going, oh, which one of these do I like? Oh, mate, it sounds tiring as shit.
Adonis looks like he'll be rude as fuck. Let's go with him.
No wonder people barely got divorced. Like, oh, yeah. Mate, it's not worth it.
No.
I can't be arsed with the dating. It's so much effort.
It is.
She starts to hear weird shit coming out of her wardrobe. She sort of looked at the wardrobe and just went, no, because there's two of them. There's two scenes where there's weird noises coming from the wardrobe.
It's not the one where the woman's dancing and moving it.
No. She just has a bit of a look at her wardrobe and then goes, I'm going to nap off to sleep. I'm like, mate, that shit happens in my wardrobe, I'm out of the house. Then she's playing a game with old fucking Gwendolyn and her son.
I can't remember what one that's called, where you've got some pieces in your corner, a coloured...
Ludo?
Yes, that could be it.
I think it's Ludo.
Just move across the board.
I was going to say Lido, but that's a swimming pool.
And then you got there's... No,
I think it's Ludo. We sort of roll the dice and then you slowly moved it around. Gwendolyn Christie's being an absolute dick to her. The son's talking to her in French going, please don't beat her too badly. She's already depressed enough as it is.
Yeah.
And then she just does anyway. It's like, it's not enough for me to get absolutely munched out by your son every night. But
his teacher?
I don't know. I think she's just like getting him to practice. She seems to be an older woman, but not necessarily. I don't know if
she keeps talking about his mock exams.
Yeah. Tutor? Maybe?
Maybe.
Anyway.
Unethical.
I said Tudor instead of tutor, and maybe I was getting him mixed up with Tudor.
Yeah, getting chewed out.
Absolutely chewed out.
He did chewed out.
So then she's washing the dress in order to go out on another date. This appears to be her only date dress. And it fucking canes the washing machine. And then she gets 13 Reasons Why by the washing machine.
Yeah, she does. Cuts
her right across the wrist.
Proper slices her.
And then there's the weirdest scene of the entire film.
Okay. So this is the ropes scene.
Yeah.
So while I was watching this earlier today, I was watching it with a couple of people, and suddenly they get a call. Their friend's got a new puppy. He's going to bring it in. And they were just sat there talking to us while we were playing the puppy, and this scene is just happening throughout.
Yeah.
I was like, I kept glancing over to it and going, this is actually happening. I'm not going to mention it, though.
So I'm hoping before anybody listens to this that they've watched the film, because I don't know how I would describe it.
So there's a mannequin.
They're getting the mannequin dressed at first.
Yeah.
Which appears to be the only way that you can properly get it dressed is by kneeling and then sitting on its face.
Laying it down. Sitting on its face.
And then slowly pulling the trousers and stuff.
And then fingering its sudden vagina.
Yeah. As they're kind of getting it undressed in order to get it redressed, they start feeling up its tits.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird enough. And then what appears to be the shop owner, maybe.
Yeah, I think it is.
It is suddenly sort of peering over into what they're doing. And the geisha one notices that she is being watched, and so plays up a bit and really feels at the tits, and then slowly moves down to the crotch, which now is a full, like,
vagina.
It's got pubes, it's a vagina. Got
lips.
She sticks her fingers inside and then pulls out blood or jam.
Something.
Something red and viscous, and then wipes it on her face.
Mm-hmm.
And during all of this, the store owner is enjoying himself so much with all the visuals that he is wanking off violently,
mm-hmm.
until he eventually just lets out fucking ropes of jizz. Like, what is this film? They're giving the mannequin with pubes a sponge bath and then fingering it while an old bloke wanks off.
Is this part of where they dress it and they do this to the mannequin?
Yeah.
That's what curses the dress, I'm assuming.
I don't know.
That was a curse we watched.
I have no idea.
I'm assuming, just based on just why else... Just
absolute ropes of jizz across the room.
Why else did we need to fucking see that?
Why else? Why on earth would we need to see three full shots of ropes of jizz just going across a room?
Don't know.
There is no need for that. Also, dude's like 70. Yeah. How's he got that much jizz?
Just doesn't stop, does it?
It's so much.
The jizz don't stop. That's what they say.
Oh my God! It's about a quarter of a pint.
Don't talk about it in pints.
It's so much. Like
it's in a glass now.
Fine, I won't talk about it in pints. It's about 250 mil.
That was in a jug.
That's about half a pint anyway. But anyway. Like measuring jug of jizz.
It's like a shot of jizz.
So much. And then they go to, I can't remember her name. What's her name in the
Secrets and Lies Women?
Yeah. What's her name in the fucking film? Sheila, right? Then it goes back to Sheila at a job at the bank. Because you've got old fucking Julian Barrett,
Mike Bush, yeah,
and Steve Oram, who's in he's in a couple of comedy things as well.
Yeah, he's been around.
Yeah, I don't know if they're a couple.
I think they are because they say, well, they could just be like roommates, but they say our washing machine.
Right. But appear to be like managers at the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Are talking to her about her handshake. I would have preferred if they didn't talk about handshakes immediately after me having to watch three shots of
40 ladles of jizz.
Yeah, of fucking absolute massive amounts of jizz. And then they're talking about a handshake. I'm like, 200
teaspoons.
Straight after an old bloke tugging it. They go back to the shop because she's, I think, taking the dress back. At that point.
This scene annoys me when she tries to take it back.
All of this annoys me.
Because she says, like, I don't have the receipt or something.
Yeah.
Can I just, like, exchange it for something? Or no. And then she gives her a load of, you know, thesaurus shit.
Yeah.
And then...
absolute bollocks, yeah.
Yeah, and then she goes, oh, fine, and takes it with her. I was just like, leave it on the counter and just fucking leave.
I'd just like to exchange it. Sorry, you can't exchange it.
Don't have
it.
To go
like,
about this by the rules.
Okay, but the key thing about this is I don't want this
You're
dress
You're keeping
near me.
It now, yeah. I don't care if I get money or another dress out of it. It ain't coming with me.
The whole shop looks like an early Tim Burton fever dream.
Mm.
Everybody in it looks like they were straight out of Edgar's.
Yeah.
Edward Scissorhands, Edgar. And then Edgar she's Allen, she's slowly looking through the catalogue and then the hand just slaps onto it because, like, no, don't look at the dress in the picture. But I think part of that is the sound because there's a really jagged sound.
Yeah, really jarring.
Yeah.
That's where you learn that the model, it's the only dress of that style and size. And the only other person to have worn it was the model.
Yeah.
Before her. And the model is now dead.
Yeah, died in a car crash.
Yeah.
She's then going out with a new dude.
Mm-hmm.
Very
nice man, he seems.
Very nice man. I can't remember what his name is.
No.
Not
in a million years was I ever going to try and remember that.
Zach?
Sure.
Maybe. Anyway, she's out on a walk with him because their dates have gone quite well so far. Mm. He seemed a lot nicer. He's not a complete cock.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck you, Adonis.
Yeah.
And then a dog just comes out of fucking nowhere and bites the living fuck out of her leg. Yeah.
And that's so she's been cut up by a washing machine, attacked by a dog. And it like is after the dress and it rips.
Yeah.
And then when she takes it home,
No, I think she's not. Yeah, she takes it home, and then her son brings it upstairs. Yeah. Finds her and Zach in the bedroom, and it's absolutely fine. Yeah. She's like, it was in bits, and then she's like, right, there's something really wrong here. And then is the second scene where the dress is going mental in the
which is where the woman is dancing in the shop,
headbanging,
and like moving the dress around.
Yeah, because she's whipping her head.
Yeah, and it's scraping across the rail,
headbanging. Which is impressive considering she's wearing a wig.
Yeah.
How's that thing not flying?
Was it her?
Off?
I thought it was a different one.
It's the most aggressive headbanging I've ever seen.
I thought it was a different woman.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I thought it was her. I don't know. They all look the same in that fucking shop. Sheila then goes for a drive in a panic.
Mm-hmm.
Is she trying to get rid of the dress?
I guess so. I don't know.
Just
figuring out what to do.
She's driving too fast, and then
sees a mannequin,
which I thought at first was just a fully naked dude on the side of the road, but it's not. It's a fucking mannequin. And then, she panics, swerves a bit, and manages to get it back on the road. And then there's a mannequin just in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Which she then panics and
crashes
her car and dies in the middle of the film.
Yeah.
Which is brave.
Didn't pay off.
I was like, mate, just go through the mannequin. It's not worth dying for. It's a fucking mannequin.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know why you're trying to save a mannequin.
Yeah, oh no, I bet I'll hit that mannequin. Just do it. And then it just completely flips to new characters.
Yeah.
It goes to Reg.
Reg, something like Reg Speaking or something, his name.
Yeah, Reg.
Reg Speaks.
Yeah, it's Reg Speaks, that's it. It's Reg, Reg Speaks.
Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, fine. Reg Speaks and his wife Babs.
Mm.
He's on, is it a stag do?
Mm-hmm.
So he's on his stag do.
And someone has got a hold of this dress.
I think it's Babs's dad. So his fiance's dad has got hold of this dress from a charity shop.
Yeah,
and makes Reg wear it as part of the stag do.
Yeah,
stag do itself, pretty standard stuff.
But in the morning, he's got tit rot.
In the morning, he's got a bit of tit rot from the dress. Reg and Babs is a bit of a mental one. She's way out of his league. And yet he doesn't like her that much.
No, he's quite all just pissed off by her.
Babs is fit. but he doesn't seem to like her at all.
No.
Babs is Hayley Squires, who was in I, Daniel Blake.
Never
Ken Loach film.
Never seen it.
She's mostly in real art house shit.
Oh, right.
Ish. So, yeah, and the fact that it's just flipped to their storyline is mad.
But with their storyline, what is with the plumbing talk?
Yeah, that is mad.
Why do people get entranced by him talking about
the dress plumbing? Gives everyone a manky tit.
Yeah. Okay, she tries it on, doesn't she,
and
Babs?
She tries it on. She looks pretty good in it. And it seems to be both her size and Reg's and also Sheila's, even though none of their bodies are the same.
No.
The dress gives everyone a bit of a manky tit and then kills a canary.
Yeah. It's all part of the curse.
And then...
These are all the additions.
Yeah, and then Reg keeps talking to people about fixing washing machines because he's a washing machine repair engineer. And he, every time he talks about it, it sends people into a weird trance where it looks
euphoric.
Yeah, like almost like they're jizzing.
Yeah, like they're really getting off on that at the end there.
Yeah, what the fuck is that? All the women in the shop were nurses in his dream.
Yeah.
The hospital bit is creepy as fuck. As is every time they open up the shop and they're all like trying to wave people in.
Yeah.
Like every time they look down,
they're entrancing them.
They look down into the street and there's loads of people lined up trying to get into this department store that only has 5 staff. There's about 1,500 people trying to come in, 5 staff across multiple floors. The whole thing's stressing me out.
One person per floor.
and except the four on one floor most of the time.
The other guy's got it covered. Yeah. The other floor's covered.
He's walking around between the floors. There's the one who looks a bit like a geisha at a funeral, and then there's two of fucking Tim Burton's ex-girlfriends in the back, staring there. I'm like, is that one other woman covering everything else?
Yeah.
Because fucking hell, give her a hand.
Maintenance. Admin. Salaries.
Yeah,
perks.
Everything about it. She's like, Jesus Christ.
Never see her.
Give me a hand.
Can I have a sandwich?
I am run off my feet around here while you lot are just dicking about.
Been home in weeks.
Babs tries to take the dress back to the department store.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she doesn't know it comes from there, because her dad bought it from a charity shop. I think she manages to find...
Is there a label?
Yeah, there's a label, and she's like, oh, I'll go along to there. It wasn't where it came from.
Whatever shop writes French in the seam.
Yeah. Fucking curses it with jizz. curses it with mannequins on the blob.
Ugh.
Everything about this film is so weird and shit.
Yeah.
Just
bad shit.
And I really hate the way they keep waving everybody into the fucking, like, they're all waving them in as if they're like, come to me, like sirens.
Like Gary Oldman's Dracula.
Yeah. Come to me, Mr. Harper. And then Babs tells them that they could do with a good shag. And then they all laugh as if, like, the old man's going, nah, don't worry, I'll just wank off across the back room.
Yeah, like, they love
that's nearly good enough.
They get all they need.
Yeah. Like they're
watching
all laughing,
me
like,
rope.
You lot need a good shag. And they're all like, ha, if only you knew. If only we knew what?
If I have to watch another old man jizz, will I try and do my job? It's like a bunch of Louis C.K.'s in there.
The fucking. And then stuff starts to go a bit mad in the department store. Including one woman who gets an absolute punch at the till.
That was good stuff. That was done really well.
A hell of a punch. Like, absolutely knocked her across the fucking room.
Deserved.
Over two people fighting over clothes. over fighting about who was going to be served next.
Yeah, that was it, yeah.
Because someone was like, oh no, I was being served. When she wasn't, there was a queue.
I hate when people make the second queue.
Ugh.
It's like, you can see.
You can see there's a queue, bitch.
No one's going to merge.
And then the whole place burned down.
Mm-hmm.
Thank fuck.
Yeah, I mean.
And then...
Less tit-rotting dresses on the street, the better.
And then the geisha bitch goes down in the dumbwaiter. And you see what she sees in the dumbwaiter.
Mm.
And as she's going down, she sees all of the characters who have worn the dress making the dress on different basement floors.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last floor was there was nobody making the dress, which meant somebody was going to be eventually making the dress. So it was just waiting for its next victim.
Next victim, right.
Yeah. So although Sheila appeared to be the first one, so was she the first person to ever get cursed by this thing?
Well, no, the model would have been.
But she wasn't there.
Oh.
She weren't making no dress? Oh, no, wait. No, she was. She was. Right. I hated this film so much.
Yeah, right, I didn't enjoy any of it.
So, categories. Best performance.
Fuck me. Probably Sheila.
It's fair.
She had a lot to do, though. She had the most to do.
She did have quite a lot to do. I mean, I quite like Reg as well.
Yeah, Reg was... He knew those stupid fucking lines well.
Yeah.
The wigwam belt was bum-buckled from the intensity drive.
I think the or even maybe the geisha woman.
Yeah, she was funny.
Because I think the character and the way that it was written and directed was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
But she did a good job of it.
She did a good job.
Yeah. Shit my pants moment.
God, fuck. What would I even have an option of? I'd say the most intense moment for me was the washing machine.
Yeah, that's fair, yeah. I mean, for me, it was the bit where she grabs the catalogue. I mean, the sound design in general was the thing that was making me jump.
Mm.
And the sound design was pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was pretty creepy.
But for creepiest shot.
Yeah, creepiest shot. I mean, I've gone for the dumbwaiter. I think all the time.
What, at the end?
No, the first one. Where she gets into it in a really unnatural position.
I'd probably go with that too.
But all the times it was used, it was quite creepy, but just dumbwaiters are creepy.
I'm not sure if I can really attribute that to the film. Nothing else in this.
Score from 1 to Touching Fabric?
1.
I mean, I've been kinder than you and I've gone 2.5. There was parts of it where I was mildly creeped out.
I just didn't feel an ounce of fear for that. I just felt confusion.
Like, it's mildly creepy and mad as fuck. Not strictly an out-and-out horror.
I felt slightly embarrassed because someone walked in at that fucking scene.
And it's a mental idea, and I didn't like it as a film.
No, I didn't.
Not at all.
I don't appreciate it.
But it exists. I would not recommend it.
No. Like, that's a solid thumbs down.
That's the thing. When a lot of these films come up and it's like the lesser known ones, quite a lot of the time I'll watch it and I will end up recommending one of those lesser known films to someone.
The good thing though.
But I wouldn't recommend this to anyone at all.
No.
Unless you want to just hate what you've done with the last hour and a half.
Well, in terms of the next few weeks, the our lesser knowns are quite good.
Okay.
Like they're pretty established movies. But for next week's Big Budgie,
yeah,
we've got a flash in the pan in terms of popularity. Mm. So I think Joss Whedon wrote it, The Cabin in the Woods.
Yep.
Which is like a satire.
Yeah, it's a comedy horror of a different
poking
kind.
Poking fun of the usual algorithm of horror movies.
It's which I remember is pretty good.
I think I've seen it since as well. Maybe a couple of years ago. It's all right. It's quite clever. The lesser known is Spain's The Devil's Backbone, which I feel like I've heard of. I feel like that's a popular title.
Maybe, yeah.
But not sure what it's about or what the things are with the plots.
No. I don't think I know anything about it, so that's always good for me.
Yeah.
Well, generally good for me. I mean, I didn't know a lot about In Fabric, and that did not turn out that well.
No, but it's the best way to watch them.
Yeah, yeah.
They can either surprise you or do that to you, what we just had done to us.
So watch with us. So for next week, it is The Cabin in the Woods and then Spain's The Devil's Backbone.
Nice.
See you then.
See you then.